Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in our 8 o'clock hour of the morning shift. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. We've got the Rusty Manziel in here with us this morning.
A man had smoke coming off his Skechers when he walked in.
On the heels of signing day.
I feel like 1991 senior trip the morning after.
How much would you pay for this coffee right now?
I would. I'm going to check my 401k this morning.
The GIF you posted yesterday of the guy pouring coffee all over himself was just perfect.
That was at like 5:20. So I'd woke up at like 4:30.
I was going to say real quick, give what your schedule was yesterday because it's crazy.
I will say this for my guys, and they're probably listening, Dogs HQ, we led the network yesterday in on three with signups. We led the network with content produced. My guys worked their ass off. I was extremely proud, but we were up from probably 4:30 in the morning, and I fell asleep last night around 11:10, and Georgia flipped a kid at 11:58, so they weren't done for the day, and
man,
I woke up at 5 this morning. I go, my alert on my phone was like, Georgia got another guy because their official Twitter. I was like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. What did happen? Like, give us the 30-second version of Georgia's signing day.
They held on to their class. They did not have a great, I would say, closing day. But I think if Georgia fans kind of knew what went on behind the scenes, they would be extremely happy because they didn't sign a bunch of 5-stars because they liked the dog walk. I'm just going to be straight. You don't get 5-stars anymore because your tutors are great.
They weren't worried about making sure their majors were good.
No, yeah. They didn't meet with academic counselors yesterday. And I'm just going to be straight. But Georgia did a very good job of holding on to kids that they really, really need. I think they had a really good class. They didn't finish great yesterday. But I think Georgia overall still has a chance to have a top 2 or 3 signing class.
I saw Jeff Sintel's piece yesterday that Georgia signed 21 Georgia kids, which is something I don't think Kirby's done in his time there so far.
Not even close.
Right.
And I'll tell you what the focus is. You want kids that want to play for the Georgia Bulldogs that grow up watching the Georgia Bulldogs. The thought process there is probably would not be so quick to go into the portal.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you get rid of the freshman blues with some of these guys that want to stay closer to home and don't want to, you know, I think that's a worry. I was kind of comparing it for people to Alabama. Alabama didn't sign a top 10 player in Alabama yesterday.
Crazy, man.
Crazy.
That is
seven
nuts.
Kids from California.
Well, you look at the makeup of that staff, and no question, they use their connections. Now, they're going to spend more time building those connections in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
Guaranteed, but they weren't playing around. Their connections were in California,
sure,
and they capitalized on that. Georgia's done that as well with times getting played. Brock Bowers from California, Kendall Milton from California,
yep,
Darnell Washington's from Las Vegas. Yep. That doesn't mean you're not getting good players. It's just a little different philosophy.
Okay, Brent Key had put together the greatest signing class in Georgia Tech history from what I've read.
Yep.
How the hell did he do
that? What's the secret?
Well, they're waiting on. Well, they're not going to Georgia Tech about the academics right now.
There's been questions about the money backing there.
Georgia Tech is in.
They're in.
Let me tell you this. I'm not going to get Georgia Tech fans lighting me up. That is a degree that speaks for itself. And there's a lot of kids that go to Tech because of that. But they won some players yesterday that probably didn't have the academic center in their mind. And they're still waiting on, you know, Josh Petty to sign. That's the one, the 5-star. I do think from everything that I have heard that he is going to sign, but he has a real agent, he has a real marketing team, and those are real contracts, and everything is going to be line by line gone through. David Sanders, the number one offensive tackle in America, as far as I know 5 minutes ago, he has not signed. I anticipate him signing with Tennessee. But I can tell you that contract is going to be what they agreed upon, and maybe Tennessee did everything and they tried to add something in. I don't know that. But those are 2 5-star linemen that did not sign yesterday. Very well could sign today.
That's I was going to say, the petty one, is that coming down to tomorrow? Who is the announcement tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Justice Terry.
There you go, Justice Terry. That's right. We said that
there's
earlier.
There's a window that these kids can sign, and tomorrow's the last day, and then it closes until February.
All right, cool.
And you'll get some sleep, a little bit of sleep then.
How many inbound text messages did you have yesterday, would you think? Just guesstimate.
Oh,
1,000?
Let me do this. I'm sitting at 470 unread text messages. So I don't really know. I don't really know.
Stress me out,
dude.
Would not
be able to handle that. This weekend.
If you don't open it, you don't know.
There you go.
So, you know what I mean?
Sorry, man. I didn't see it.
No.
This weekend, championship weekend.
Yeah.
You got a little game here?
Yeah, I just saw it when I pulled in the red light this morning. So I pulled in the station here at 7:05, and I sent it to red light. A guy comes out of the Starbucks, and he's got a Hook'em Texas sweatshirt on.
They're going to come in today.
They're going to start coming in today and tonight. You're going to start seeing Texas. It's the first time they've been here. I would imagine tonight you'll start seeing a lot of Texas fans around town.
Man, that's going to be a big one.
How does Georgia pull it off again? I think Georgia go back and you look at the game and you kind of analyze it, and other than Carson Beck's interceptions, Georgia kind of dominated that football game.
Question, why is Texas favored right now?
I think the health of Georgia and what you've seen out of Georgia the last couple, just hot and cold, they still haven't played a clean game. They didn't play a clean game there, and they beat Texas by 2 touchdowns because they had 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
Georgia held Texas. Here's the stat, guys. Georgia had 7 sacks, 10 tackles for a loss. Texas had 27 rushes for 31 yards. Ooh. That's a dominating performance. And those two tackles are both highly projected NFL first rounders. Yeah. If I've got anything to me and I'm that, I cannot wait to face Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker again to erase that tape.
Oh yeah,
because that's a grown man tape that you got beat up the first match.
To your point, I know that Kirby talked about Arch Manning yesterday and about his mobility and what he can do. They kind of put Arch in last time in kind of a bad situation.
Yep.
Kind of took him right back out. How much do you think Arch Manning plays a pivotal role in this? Because they do need to run the ball more efficiently. And they weren't able to do that last time against Georgia. And it sounds like Kirby kind of knows it's coming.
Dude, would you not?
I would.
I mean,
I've said it a dozen times on here.
Listen,
I would.
He's not Haynes King, but I don't think people realize how big Arch Manning is in person and what type of athlete he is.
There you go.
He's got an elite arm, but this dude is put together. He is a big dude in person. And if I'm Sark and the 2 turnovers I had in the red zone last week, I'm going to put it in the hands of Arch Manning and give him the RPO option. You know what I mean? Because here's what Georgia's been successful with, and Nick Saban did this for a long time, Mike, I think you'll agree. If you know where that quarterback is, you're in trouble. And Georgia did not worry about Quinn Ewers beating them with his legs.
Yeah.
You got to add that element.
There's no doubt about that. And I said the same thing the other day. I was like, you know, Bama, I don't know if Bama should be in or not.
Yeah.
But Bama is just historically, when you look at Kirby and all these defenses, I'm like, how can Bama get a pro style quarterback in the playoffs? That's what the next thing is. And that's the same thing I think that Kirby and those guys were able to tee off on when they went against Quinn.
Show me the spot and we'll get there.
Exactly.
Show me the spot.
It's just crazy.
Do you have a problem with the rankings? Do you have a problem with Miami being out? Because it looks like SMU loses, they might still be in, but Miami is ba-ba.
Miami's cooked. You're not going to hurt my feelings either way.
I think Miami had every opportunity to handle that. And what were they up, 20-0?
21-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were up 20.
They
were up 20. By the way, we're going to have Fran Brown on the show next week on the State Council, early plug.
Well, his interview, holy smokes, afterwards.
I talked to him last night a little bit just on text setting this up, and – Fran Brown's a huge Georgia guy. He's a huge Kirby Smart guy. You know what I mean? I asked him about Dabo. The comments Dabo said, if they win the national championship, he's going to have Fran Brown in the parade.
He goes, oh, really?
Yeah, he said. Which was great. And he said that he told Dabo. He said, "Man, I'm pulling for you, but I'm telling you right now, if you play Georgia, go Dogs."
Hey, how ironic would it be, real quick, if Dabo and Clemson won a national title off the backs of Fran Brown and Kyle McCord, who is a what? Transfer portal player,
yeah.
Which Dabo says, "Oh no, 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 we don't do that."
Yeah. Well,
he better have Kyle McCord's ass in that parade too.
If Clemson wins the national championship, then South Carolina fan, they're going to be. It's going to be rough.
I want to pivot really quick away from Texas Georgia and talk a little bit more about signing day.
Mm-hmm.
How different is signing day now for you? You've covered it a long time. Signing day has completely changed from what it was when you started doing it. How different is signing day nowadays in terms of communicating with players from your perspective and from coaches' perspective?
Well, for 10, 12 years, I would build a 2 to 3 year relationship with the player and the parents.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I needed the information at the end. And if we got it from them, we did, we didn't. I knew, just take for example, I knew everything that was going on with Reuben Foster from the start, because I knew Reuben since he was a ninth grader. And it was a wild one.
The Auburn tattoo.
But I knew everything until the end, what was going on there.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, I knew everything that was going on to the end. In all these guys. Now, unfortunately, you basically have to talk to an agent to kind of know what's going on.
I was going to ask, I feel like you need more caffeine this morning. I feel like you've been put through the ringer yesterday.
It was really hard to cover because, you know, you don't reach out to the kid on signing day. I know he's getting killed. Who are the people around him that are making the decisions? For example, I'm covering Osmani Kroma, the running back at Lee County. I'm covering Jeremiah McLeod at Lee County.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. So I know Dean Fabrizio for 12 years, the head coach, and I have a great relationship with him. I called him yesterday morning. He goes, "Rusty, don't have one clue what's going on."
Wow.
Well, that's
I am preparing us to play in the biggest playoff game we've played in a long time against Milton, and I don't know what those two kids are going to do, but at 2:00, we're all going to find out.
That's kind of my question. Was it a record number of flips yesterday? Because your guy Hayes Fawcett.
Yeah.
I actually went and followed him yesterday because Florida went on a Billy Napier went on a tear the last month and a half of the season getting recruits, but I don't remember ever seeing that many flips, and Hayes Fawcett had every single one. Credit to him.
He's got ones that were not used. And you know why they weren't used? Because the school that you were committed to stepped up their contract.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. So, hey, I'm a proud dad moment. I'm the one that kind of put Hayes on.
Yeah.
I called him one day. I said, "Who are you? What's going on?" I called Shannon Terry. I was like, "Shannon, this kid's something now." He goes, "Who is Hayes Fawcett?" So he watched him for about 3 days, and he called me back. He goes, "Get me on the phone with this guy."
Yes, I love that.
And
man,
I will say this, that Hayes has been very, very thankful. He sends me texts all the time. But he absolutely has the trust of every top football player in America. He breaks
everything. He's like Rappaport.
Well, yeah, the funny thing is,
more trustworthy.
He's a great one.
The funny thing is, real quick, I know we got to go. I thought he was one of those. I thought he was like that Dove Kleiman guy. That's like a fake.
No,
but I saw you retweet him one day, and I go, "Well, maybe this guy has some. You know, maybe he's credible."
Let me tell you something. He had no idea what he was sitting on. I said, "Hayes, we need to talk." And I had some long talks. He didn't know who Shannon Terry was.
That winning lottery
ticket. Just tell him, make sure he kicks up his 10%.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. He is getting paid well.
Rusty, always good to have you in studio with us.
I need coffee.
And you know what?
I got to say one thing before I go, because I'm confident in this.
Is it?
It's not you. Okay, it's not your hostage picture. We'll talk about that later.
He always takes
it. I am confident that Bo's theme song was not "I Crush a Lot."
No.
I am confident in
that. We are all sure of that, Rusty.
Well, I had to say something, Rusty.
I am confident in that.
You can follow Rusty on X at Rusty Manziel. Rusty, thanks for joining us this morning. Up next, what is stopping this Falcons offense? That's on the way when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coach Flores does an unbelievable job with those guys. They've got great talent across the board. The scheme is good. So we got to be definitely sound and have, you know, the right answers for those things if they do present themselves. Sometimes they show up more often than not. But definitely got to have sound answers, and so definitely the preparation's been good so far. We've got a long way to go to get ready for these guys, though.
That was Falcons offensive coordinator Zach Robinson on the defense that they're going to face in the Minnesota Vikings, led by Brian Flores, their DC.
B-Flow.
B-Flow. You know what
I mean? B-Flow, as Raheem called him the other day. B-Flow.
No, Ra called him B-Flow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ra called him B-Flow. I don't know. I guess
he's
I'm
not on first name. But, you know, nickname basis.
When I heard Mike Bell yesterday, hey, B was running the ball real well. Or was that B? Or was that Mike or Carl? I don't remember. B was running the ball real well.
I could see one of them doing
I'm
it.
I'm like,
Calling Bijan B?
Yeah, B. B.
No one calls him that.
Yeah,
B. Unless it's one of their coaches, unless it was Coach Woods.
No, it was definitely Michael. You know, hey, B was running the ball well. Mm-hmm. Can we stick with B running the ball?
I think you can call him John next. John was running the ball well.
Rob.
Maybe they have a different relationship.
They don't.
It's okay. Listen, Tiff, I'm like, yeah, look, give anybody the benefit of the doubt. But when you have the doubt in your mind and you know that they don't deserve the benefit, I'm going to say they don't.
I was going to say,
on a B.
I was going to say, I'll give anybody the benefit of the doubt unless I know them.
Exactly.
Then you lose it. But, you know, let's digress. We don't want to go down that road. Bijan did have a good day. In fact, every time you go back and look at what happened last week, you go, huh. We won in every facet of the game. Every one of our 47 or 46, whatever it is these days, 47 or 46, 45 of our players beat their 45. We just had one. He just had one player that didn't necessarily do everything they needed to do to win. And he knows it. It has to be said. You know, you don't ever want to pin it on one player.
Yeah.
But it was just those turnovers. It just killed that. You needed just a little bit better, and you'd win the game from that position. You didn't get it. You got a rebound, and you know, go see what B-Flow and in Minnesota's got for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, and overall, a little bit more from this offense overall. Here's Zach Robinson on situational football. That is what he feels is stopping them.
We're going to continue to just do the best we can because really that's situational football, third down and red zone, and taking care of the ball is where we're kind of stopping ourselves. We're able to move the football very efficiently first and second down. It's just making sure that we are on the screws with situational football, third down, red zone, scoring points when we get down there, scoring touchdowns when we get down there, making sure that does not happen again.
Yeah, it's so true. I say it all the time. I hope a lot of times that this, and I said it during the game on Sunday, I hope this Falcons team can somehow score from like the 25, because it seems like when they get in the red area or they get into some kind of short yardage situation, we've mentioned it before, the Falcons are one of, if not the most successful team on the ground on first and second down in the NFL. Extremely good when it comes to just middle of the field, first down, second down, running the ball. They are elite in that category. Start getting a tighter red area, you start getting into short yardage plays, you start getting into third and longs, all those situational things that Zach is talking about, that's what kills you. You have to stay, and that's why we've talked so much, guys, on this show about penalties and staying on time and not backing yourself up and not being in a first and 20 or a first and 15. Because to Zach's point, once you start getting situational football that is not in your favor, you have simply not been very good, and it's frustrating.
Going into the Denver game, you were 15th in the league in red zone efficiency. 15th in the league down in the red area in efficiency. You're now 25th.
Yeah.
I mean, you, and at 50% of the time you're in the red area, you don't score a touchdown.
It's just and I had a question from Chris Goforth in between pre and post on Sunday, and he's like, you know, you talk a lot about the run game, and obviously the run game is always going to be the area that I focus on. It's what I love to talk about. It's what I think delivers championships more times than not.
Of course, you're an offensive lineman.
Right. That's what I like to talk about. All right. And he's like, why do you focus so much on the fact that they run wide zone when they're obviously very, very good at running wide zone? Why do you focus so much on the fact that they don't use pullers or run power or run, you know, some of these other run, you know, run plays that the rest of the NFL does? And my answer always is because I think there's more. I think it's one thing to be successful on first and second down. You love that. But I also look at how little long distance explosives we've had this year. We've had one run that's been over like 40 yards this year. And you did get a little bit of a change up last weekend. You went to a wham play. That was nice. Could have gone for more. But I just think the pieces we have in place, I think we should be getting more from the run game. I think there should be 20 and 25-yard chunks sitting in there the way some of these other teams are able to rattle it off and to put yourself in a better situation where you don't have to worry about red zone efficiency.
Do you think they're going to have to do a little bit more wham, maybe a little more mid to inside zone, maybe duo or something? Because here's the thing, and I'm talking about this week alone, because this is the fifth best scoring defense. They lead the league against the run. They're only giving up 81 yards a game.
Yeah. This is an opportunistic defense and a defense that's been good in that area that you just mentioned.
I think everything's on the table. And I thought they would and it was nice to see the wham play. They also did a little bit of a different, we used to call it mid-zone lock, where instead of the backside tackle coming down into the B-gap, he would actually lock on the backside end and you would insert like a Charlie Warner for the cutback. They tried to do a little bit of that with Algier in the game. It looked like the hole kind of got messy. Algier didn't read it for whatever reason. So there were small changes. But I think Zach Robinson at this point, I think a lot of this run game is Dwayne Ledford, and I think Zach Robinson is kind of opting to let Dwayne Ledford lead that, if I had to guess, because it's got his fingerprints all over it. And they're just, I don't know, it seems like the small caveats that you would normally see kind of move in as a snail's pace, because like I said, you look at it and they are extremely efficient on first and second down in the run game at this point. It just, when you get in a situational football, like he said, it's not quite where you want it to be.
No, it hasn't been. And we talked about it throughout the week. Again, I say it again, the opportunistic defense that they are facing with turnovers, with Byron Murphy on their team looking around. It's a game in which you cannot afford to turn the football over at all because this team can capitalize
on it.
What
was, you might remember this. Remember Danielle Hunter and Jonathan Grenard kind of switched places this past offseason. We were monitoring the pass rush market. Danielle Hunter was one of those guys that I think he got, 2 years? $49 million or something like that.
Almost $1 million. Yeah.
The Falcons were kind of in on that a little bit, but it got outbid. Then Jonathan Grenard, who was with Houston, he ends up back where Danielle Hunter was, and they kind of switched places. Man, he's been worth every dime that they're giving him up in Minnesota.
He's a Hiram kid. He went to Hiram High School. He obviously went to Louisville, then went to Florida, and he signed a contract worth $76 million over 4 years. Mm. And to your point, guy's got 10 sacks, 14 tackles for loss,
Jesse,
3 forced fumbles, 15 quarterback hits, and a couple of pass breakups.
Woo,
he's had an all-pro year.
So he's got the whole Falcons defense before last week. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, Rook has 3 sacks. I'm not Rook, I'm sorry. Abicady.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of all-pro, we have a life of squid.
Oh, no, you did not. No, you did. That
coming
is
up next.
On you.
That's why I laughed. I wanted to make him feel, you know, good.
That's right, Tiff. He might be the All-American. I'm the All-Pro. I did a freeing exercise, and you can do it too. I'll tell you what it is next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 910 on the game, and
the Odyssey app. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com for a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Yes!
We're back here on the morning shift.
That's one of those moments we didn't have a plan. Just admit it. We didn't have a plan before
no
Life
plan.
Is Squid.
You don't
talking
have
about
to have one.
How much you love crepes.
Well,
Mike did
France.
A diva moment. Mike just had a diva
Mike
moment.
Mike did have a diva moment.
Unbelievable.
Big
unbelievable.
Time diva
See,
moment.
According to you guys, I'm sensitive.
See,
I'm a diva.
You
I'm
are.
You
like to
okay.
brand me
things.
as diva. No, Mike had a diva moment. Big
diva.
You're
no,
like,
I just
Day-Day,
simply,
my thirst needs to be quenched. Can
that's
I please
not what
get
happened.
This water? And Day-Day just took off, and all of a sudden he magically appears with water for
Rusty
you.
Rusty said, can somebody walk me down to the 8th floor to get some water? And I was like, hey, Day-Day, if you're going to walk him down there, can I have some water? And there it is.
You know? I don't believe you.
Yeah. Okay. No. Anyway,
you guys hear about reusing your plastic bottles?
No.
I'm full of a wealth of health
I thought that
today.
Was only bad if it sat in the
they
sun.
They said more than one day. No. Apparently.
What if it's the green top?
It's like the germs on it.
What if it's the green top?
But I think it's probably the same as like a metal bottle.
What if you don't drink out of the bottle? You just pour it into another bottle. You use the bottle to store it, and you pour it into another bottle.
Still contaminated.
Is it?
No, it's not.
I don't know. You had all the answers coming into this.
I don't know. I just, for that, I don't know the answer to that one, though, if you're not actually putting your lips on it and reusing it. But
I reuse my gallon a lot. I mean, I do eventually switch it out, but I refill my gallon
Do
jug.
You put your lips on
yeah,
the
I do.
Thing?
And I'm just fine.
Well, nice knowing you. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I would say once a week we come in here and have a conversation of what's going to kill us.
We do.
Yeah, it's like it, and it it's going to be something.
That what happens when you get old.
It's normally started by one person.
I already said that I am a word I cannot use on this show. I already admitted that. I'm not like doom and gloom though, but I am a jerk, like a jerk. The bad word for jerk. Yeah.
That's me. Yeah. No, you're, yeah, well.
That's me. I mean, it's true. I own it.
Pat, this is much like Day Day's conversation about the rappers yesterday. I am not going to comment.
You know what?
You think you'll be in a lose-lose?
There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go.
Allow me to rescue yourself from
myself.
Yourself. Jeff, I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
No.
Yep. KSU introduced a new coach, Coach Mack. Got new realm, a little Al N lager. Don't forget my friends at W Sauce, the Bloody Mary mix. It's Garrett Chapman approved and tested.
Mm.
I did a
you
I
do
did.
You boo.
Oh, get me out of here!
Dylan's on fire today, man. Dylan's on fire today.
I've given him a lot of good material today.
Yeah.
All right, I did an ex. I got a first off, we're going to play the cut from that we talked about from a Hard Knocks in season in the AFC North, which is pretty cool.
It started last night?
No, it started Tuesday.
I watched it
yesterday when I got home. It was phenomenal. It was really good because it's not all one team, and it's the
AFC North.
Yeah, AFC North, and so it's got Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, and such. It was phenomenal. Very good. Before I get to that, I looked at my phone the other day, and I had my Gmail has two accounts. My Gmail app on my iPhone has two accounts linked, my personal and work. I had like 8,000 or 9,000 unopened emails, the little icon said.
I'm sorry, did you say 8,000 or 9,000?
Yeah, not that bad.
I've had like close to 30,000.
I'm at 13-ish.
So
what is wrong with you?
I started looking at it the other day, and it's been one of those things that bothers you, but you just ignore it. And so
like that's a problem for future Bo. Like,
yeah,
put that one.
And
in back
future
pocket.
Bo's put it off apparently since 2017. I think I had emails going back open on the work account, and a lot of them aren't. They're emails that I probably looked at, but never. But
like the monthly blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I went through and as I started clicking and click the tab, mark is red, click the tab, mark is red. And I did it and it probably took me about an hour and a half total time, but I have successfully marked red.
You've cleansed your email.
And I'm going to tell you something. I feel so accomplished. I feel freed. It's almost like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders.
Yeah. You're gonna be walking around. Yeah, you're gonna be feeling to get the chest poked out when you're walking around today.
And you can too. You too can do that, Tiffany. You can go through there.
I'm at 3 now. I cleared it out from like 24,000 to 30,000 range, and now I'm at 3,500 currently.
Yeah, so it won't take you long
between
at
all three of my accounts.
I've got like 6 Gmails attached to my account from all jobs I've had, all kinds of stuff, and I don't think I've ever got. If I get over 30, I would sweat. If I got over 30,
but this is on par for all. This is on brand for you. It's on brand for me. It's on brand for both.
Yeah. Nothing can be argued there.
Yeah, because I'm kind of in the middle of both y'all. You're extreme on things. You're extreme on other things. I'm in the middle. I'm the even-keeled guy on this show. I'm the one that breaks it all, puts it all together.
Sure, man. You're even keel on everything other than self-awareness, which I can now deliver to you.
I've got plenty of self-awareness.
Nothing there right now.
See, and I'll say, where he lacks self-awareness, I'm self-aware, but I don't do anything to stop what I'm doing.
That is very self-aware of you.
I'm trying to think my way through that one right now.
I know I'm doing it, but I don't try to stop it.
It's Mike, it is spot on. She's right. Don't think through it. I thought through it already. She's spot on.
You're right.
All right.
I'm definitely an overthinker, so now I'm on brand.
We talked about Deontay Johnson earlier, and I told you guys that Mike Tomlin is definitely the diva wide receiver whisperer. Okay.
All right.
And he's a guy that relates to players, and players clearly respect him, and you can see it. This is the clip I was talking about earlier in the NFL huddle or whatever the name of that segment is for us. It's every show's got a different name, same segment. The reality is that he had to get George Pickens calm after the first play. Here's how it played out.
Huge play on the opening defensive possession for Cincinnati.
Pass interference all day.
You see Cam Taylor-Britt, who struggled recently, but on that play, he gets physical with George Pickens early. Pickens goes to the ground.
The football wasn't out yet, but I think it's illegal use of hands on the defense.
Hey, bro, it can't define us today. I need you to stay with me. Hey, this ain't going to decide the outcome of the game. It ain't going to decide the outcome of the game. Look at me. You all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go.
And George, next possession, George Pickens catches a little screen at the on the Cincy like 21. He houses it, and Tomlin came up as he's coming up. Tomlin says, "See, it's a way to respond. That's a way to respond." I'm not a huge fan of George Pickens. I think he is immature, and I think he pitches temper tantrums, and he's ridiculous. However, he is a very good talent, and he's a good player when his head's in the game, and that is. That is a masterclass of coaching by Mike Tomlin to understand, be aware of the situation, react, pull the guy back in, and get the best out of the guys that you need in those moments. And that's why that team is rolling right now.
When you hear the term leader of men, that is what it sounds like. If you've never been involved in a situation like that and you hear the term leader of men, you can think of that clip because that's exactly what it is.
Well said. All right. When we come back here, we'll find out what's coming up on a very special edition of The Steakhouse.
Woo!
We'll be right back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.